All right, Brian, episode 8 is here. Been a crazy couple weeks.
Yep.
We've had our episode last. Donald Clark got to speak his piece.
Well, you built it up the whole episode, too.
I swear. I was so disappointed.
He has high ambitions for that.
My favorite part, though, so I'm just going to kind of put the viewers into give them something to go back and look at episode 7, not that it hasn't had enough views. But we started at what, 1:30 trying to build
probably
this show
because we reached out to I think Chris first and he said he was available in like 4:30 or so yeah, probably about that time.
So we stayed here from 1:30 and then we finished with Donald somewhere after the 7:30 mark.
Then we tried to wait around for Wayne
and then but if you actually go back and watch episode 7, look at my eyes are super telling that we drank all day. And again, we did it for you guys. We did it for the show.
Yep. Content, man.
We did it.
We're all about the content.
We were here to try to build.
The glass hit the mic at one point. We about fell out of the chairs.
But like I said, if you look at my eyes, I looked at my eyes, and they've always been like that. Like, and that's not. Sometimes it's not a drunk part. It's just a like ready to go to bed part. But my eyes start to close. But you could see it for sure. Like, is this thing over yet?
Well, we know the drinking side of it. We have a high tolerance, but the tolerance still, the volume still gets to a level where they got your eyes do start floating.
Yeah,
I mean that happens.
So we're about to dive into just stuff in general. We've got a lot of things to talk about. This show and this episode are going to be completely different than usual. There's going to be a lot of moving parts to this one. Going to get edited quite a bit, but I'll tell you right now. So Paul, who's here, and did an amazing job for Speed Weeks Day 1 as far as production.
Much better than you did for the first race here, or the regular season.
All right, we get it. I don't do
well.
Well,
you were complaining about yourself the whole time. Like I said, I couldn't even focus on the race because you were over here cussing every other breath. I'm like, see what's going on.
But so Paul and I and Mike and Mason, we all went to dinner one night, Chili's up there.
Hey, you know what Chili's, they got
ass on tap.
Ass on tap, yeah.
But we went to Chili's and these, we'll call them youngsters that were talking about how well they drank. They're like, we could drink you under the table. I looked over and go, nah.
Like another table was saying that.
No, we were at the bar.
Oh, okay.
And there was a group of kids that came in. They started being kind of belligerent a little bit. But they looked over and they go, that's what I thought. That's what I looked over and go, what time did you guys start drinking?
Remember when I had my first beer?
Yeah, I remember my first beer. But we came out of Speed Weeks Day 1. We had to go up there. Paul and I were there on Thursday, kind of set up shop and got all the cameras in place. And, you know, I told this to one of the winners, Robert Arch, won the mini stocks. And he kind of gave me a little bit of junk about it. But I swear, man, just like we talked about from day one, is that this broadcast that we're doing, like that show for just three divisions – you know, a good field, really. 13 Chargers.
Awesome. Any cars.
They were
really
great.
Showed up, yeah.
So, but for just a Saturday show on a broadcast, quality couldn't have been any better.
Oh yeah, it was good.
So every time we keep putting something up, we put it up better and better every single time. Speed Weeks Day 1, like I said, we got our stuff set up for the ultra broadcasting side. I'll go back to kind of just informative stuff for everybody watching. On the phone again today, I have a Tuesday call I have a weekly call every Tuesday at 10. We're super close to getting the app out there to make it easier for everybody to tune in. But no matter how you tuned in, you saw a great show on Saturday, and that leads into tomorrow. As we're recording this, we're recording this knowing that going into tomorrow is day one of Speed Weeks I-95 Showdown's first race.
I think Saturday, you know, we had a lot of competition. I would say weekly racing in the whole region kind of kick started on Saturday, and there's a lot of tracks running. But there's no one running tomorrow that I know of other than Speed Week getting going with the late miles at Southern National.
And we're looking at like 22 cars.
I think so. It's gonna be good. And he's also got some legends and bandos on tap as well.
On tap, nice, well played.
I try to do what I can. Legends looks to be like 17 or 18, and then bandos, who knows? Sometimes they just show up spur of the moment.
Right. Yeah. Brian called the race. Race directing was awesome as always. Really no big dramas.
Well, we had one. somebody spun somebody out in the Charger race. Oh, yeah. That's a good story in itself.
That's actually a really good story.
So you should share that story with us, which they knew they did it. There was no, like, hostile environment. Like, oh, don't put me to the back. We put him to the back, but he understood why. But I don't know if his spotter was helping him. Please elaborate for us, Steve.
So what had happened was... I talked to Greg and Peterson, who's raced with us, and the Smith family has been out here racing with us for a while. And Greg ran a Black 33 at...
No, he did not.
Did he not? What did he run at Dillon?
He 22 at Dillon, I believe. It may be in 33, but I mean, he also runs a 22 for, is it Chad somebody?
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure he was running the Black 33 at Dillon when he spun.
Oh, maybe.
When he thought he got wrecked by...
Neil Meredith,
but he didn't.
Maybe
just spun himself.
But he was not running the Black 33 this past weekend.
No, Jesus, no. Yeah, I know that now. The so, anyways, he said, man, I'm trying to put this thing together, and can you spot for me? I'm like, man, I'm kind of in the middle of a bunch of different things going on, but I said, if you need a spotter, I don't want to lose a car, so we'll do it. So I started spotting the first half of the race, and I was clearing them like a son of a bitch. I mean, I was the best spotter anyone's ever had, just saying, like, in, out, like, do it, go, let's dig. And then the 52 ended up wrecking the 10 car, and I tried to clear the 33 that I was spotting for. And as I was spotting for it, there was nowhere the 33 could go. It was stuck in its spot. It ran into the back of somebody. And I said, man, I said, I tried to get you clear, but there's really nowhere you could go. And I said, but can you see? Because the nose, like, tucked up. I said, can you see? And he goes, yeah, I can see. That's radio communication back to me. Can you see? And he goes, yeah, I can see. I said, well, we should be fine then. Just stay out. Radiator doesn't look like it's busted, so let's just stay out. And that car came down pit road. And then as the 52 came off of four, I get radio up. Hey, man, who are you following? And I was like, I said, aren't you in the Black 33? He goes, no, I'm in the white 52. I'm like, oh, son of a bitch. I'm like, damn it. So I was spotting for a different car that I was supposed to be spotting for.
When I went down after the pits, of course, because I had to put him to the back, which he took fault of that. He knew he did it. But his version of that story was great. He said there was one time that I was sitting there, and they were saying, inside. He said, I found myself looking down. I said, who am I racing? Somebody in damn pits? But there's no one inside. That's the apron.
Yep. Yeah, but the – Bono said done, like, after I figured out who I was spotting for, he goes, yep, they're putting me to the rear. And I go, well, now that I know who I'm spotting for, you deserve to go to the rear. So I originally thought I was spotting the 33, and the 33 got screwed because the 52 wrecked the 10. But now that I know I'm spotting for the 52, yeah, pack it up and put it to the back.
I'm just happy that you didn't talk junk about the 52 thinking that that Gray was in the 33. That could have got weird.
Yeah, but
hey, buddy, you realize that's me, right?
Yeah, but no, it definitely got weird. But other than that, for the most part, I thought race one for Southern National this season. I thought Mason does a great job as far as organization, stacking his tires just like you do, getting everything in order. You know, Mike
and the facility, and I mean,
it's always been amazing.
Everything that I was telling, I think Jacqueline this past weekend. I said, there's not anything here that I could say. You know, it would be nice if they had this there. It's already there.
Right.
I mean, the suites are nice. The tower, so many. Everything's separated. It's not all cluttered in one. It's really nice.
I will say the only thing that's if we can just get an elevator maybe to go up those stairs, because it does get
stairs are a bitch
tiresome. But
I'm keep reminding how out of shape I am.
Yeah, but for the most part, 100%. And we've said it. We've said it about Southern National and about Mike and them. That facility, man, it's so nice.
I think we said it last time we were there together before this past weekend.
Oh, Jesus, here we go. So,
oh, come on, now.
We talked about it. All right, so we're gonna bring it up. It's fine. We'll put it out there. So Jacqueline thought it would be a good idea that Brian and I talk about this. So the reason I'm sighing a little bit is that it's going to be embarrassing for me because I went to full child mode as a 40-year-old person. Was I 40 then?
2019's when
yeah,
it was.
Yeah, no, so I wouldn't have been 40. I was in my late 30s, 38, 39. Anyways, I don't know why I brought it up.
Because you were a kid then.
Yeah, I was just a child.
Wow.
Well, I acted like one. But
it was pretty fun.
But so we went there, and I think, what did I talk? Oh, no, I talked about it on the broadcast. I went there with Grumpy.
It was Double Down Weekend.
Double Down Weekend.
It was a big weekend.
Which we've said it. If anyone's going to do something kind of outside the box and do something cool, it's always Mike Diaz. And
it made perfect sense.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the year that the national championship, I think it was Todd at that point, with who? Peyton Sellers, Philip Morris, and Mike Looney, I believe it was. And then on top of that, it was a lot of races. So people that was running for the North Carolina state title was coming. myself, you, Yarborough made the trip from the beach. It was just a good weekend. I think they had like, what, right at 30 cars.
Yeah.
And it was a two-day deal.
Yeah, no, because I think I was 28th qualifying.
No, I figured you would know exactly how many.
But to that, like leading up to it, man, like, and again, because I don't really care now because Bob doesn't pay us, we spent most of our time like printing out the schedule. That week getting into Double Down, we could care less about Myrtle Beach Speedway. Like, it was just there. But got our trailers together.
I can't remember. Now, did we? Yeah, we did race against each other in trucks before that.
Yeah, before that, yeah.
But that was our first time racing against each other in late models.
Late models, yes. Yep. So we went off. I had to go get my car from Grumpy up at Empire that week of, and you and Billy had your car kind of situated. So I went and got mine. We met together. I blew a tire on the trailer as we got close, and then Grumpy had to come to me. I had to put a tire on it to get there. But once we got there, it was a 46. It was a black, like, good-looking car.
Mm-hmm.
And throughout the week, you and I were close. You were always better, of course. But speed-wise, we were always like that 9th, 10th, 8th, 9th. Like, we were right together. So I go out and qualify, and I'm like, man, I'm going to put a lap down right now. And the way it worked out, Brian literally was the
car. Well, that speaks volumes to how close we were in speed-wise, because they did the same deal. They invert the speeds from practice to qualifying. So I was the very next car to go out after you. So I'm just sitting there, and, you know, you got brief visibility. You're just sitting there waiting to go for them to call you out. And I'm like, oh, come on, Steve. Like, put down a good lap. And I was talking to my Uncle Steve, who was spotting for me. I said, let me know what he runs. And I was like, just don't overdrive. I was telling myself, for you, don't overdrive. And I'm sitting there, and this is probably 3 car lengths deeper than what you should be driving to. Like, if you drove to me, I know he overdrove. Oh, dude, I'm just sitting there. All I hear, brrr, I was like, Jesus. Oh, he sawed her off in there. Like, dude, where are we going, bro?
And for those racers watching, not a great idea.
No, because it didn't look like it.
Speed-wise, it did not play out. So
you needed some PJ1 on the outside group that time.
The lap time did not prove to be useful to drive off in. So if I would have just done practice times, I probably would have been a lot better.
Maybe with the trucks. You were using them brakes in the trucks. You need qualifying, need them brakes.
Well, yeah, but I will say that, and Grumpy can comment on this post or and say a message somewhere to us. But so we suck. You were – where'd you end up qualifying?
I think I qualified like 7th or 8th.
For the first one, right?
Yeah.
And then so first race starts. I'm, like I said, second to last. I go out there, and I'm passing cars on the top. Like, I'm rolling. That thing is digging. And even, I could hear.
And everyone knows Southern National. To pass cars on the top is a feat in itself. Yeah.
So Grumpy, like, you could hear it in his voice because he was spotting for me. And Grumpy, you could hear it in his voice. He's like, he got excited every time I passed the car on the top because, like, I mean, again, you shouldn't. So the car was rolling. I think I got up to, like, 14th, somewhere in there. And then the invert come out for race 2 that day. Because we ran, again, Double Down. So we did 2 day 1, and it was going to be 2 day 2.
I believe
2.
Ryan Repko won that first one.
Yes.
And they inverted 6 or 7? 6. Yeah, because it put us on the pole.
Yep.
So it was me and Chapman on the front row for the second race.
Yep. So I was, like, dead set. We came in, like, after the deal was done, and or after the first race was done, and had a good car. I felt super confident in what I had as a piece, and I'm like, man, this, you know, I'm not gonna go win this thing, but I'm gonna keep moving forward, and it's gonna be great. And then the invert happened, and I was excited for you to be on the pole. And I was telling the story to someone this weekend about like coming to green, man. I had that thing just sucked up. I was like, gas brake in third, ready to come to green, and I was like, man, I'm gonna dig. This is about to be real. And I'm gonna just start making passes as soon as the green drops. And we come off of 4, and Chris missed a shift.
He did. I was wondering what was going on, like, leading up. When the pace car ducks off, and he, like, kind of gasses up a little bit. And I never changed anything. I'm just sitting there the same RPMs. And then he kind of backed off, and I was like, well, I'm going at the line. So then when we fired off at the line, and we were even, and then, yeah, he missed a shift. And I was like, ooh, that's not going to be good. That's not going to be good.
I was so tucked up to Brooks Store at that time.
That was Rev Racing.
Rev Racing, yep. I was just like, all up on her rear bumper just because I was ready to go. And then when it started to miss shift, it just started to check up to me. And Brooks' car ended up in my front windshield. And then from there, Gracie Trotter
behind
me ran into the back of me. Not anything to do with what she did. It's just
look at you and the ladies. Ladies, man.
I've always been a ladies' man, but that was not how I wanted to see it go down. And then all of a sudden, from once Brooks was up on the windshield, and then Gracie hit me.
I'm glad your terminology there went better than I thought it was going
to
go.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to keep it PG rated. But I started just spinning like everywhere, and I hit the inside wall, and I came back up, and it was a mess. But the part that is frustrating, and I look back and wish I would have handled my business a little bit better, is that so that then ended my week.
And we had a whole another day ahead of us.
Yep. But that race, though, that's the one you won. Yeah,
I won
that
one, yeah.
So Brian goes off and wins, and I am just a full-on baby, right? Like, so I had my arms crossed. I don't want to talk to anyone. I was pouting.
I think actually in the picture, it's like a classroom picture that one student does not want to be there.
Yeah, Jacqueline.
Like we told you guys, like Grumpy, the whole Empire team, yourself, yeah. I'm Derek. Like, come on, TJ was there. Like, get in the picture with us. Because we were kind of working all as one whole team. And yet everybody's sitting there smiling, having a good time. Steve just, I'm here. Yeah.
Jacqueline, she's like, go support Brian. He just won. I'm like, no, I'm happy for him. It's great. And then the next day, I was just like, I helped push the car, and I was just like, ugh.
That shit I hate, too. Like, you just had to hand on it. Like, if you're not going to put some effort in it, if I don't see that back bent over pushing, just don't put your hand on it.
I don't get to drive
that. I hate
that
more than anything else, and I see it down pit road. Somebody just laid their hand on it.
Yeah.
You're weighing it down.
Yeah.
Push the thing.
I don't get
especially when they do it right in front of the guy that's steering the wheel.
I'm telling you, that 46 was like, and that was the one. So the 46, Grumpy, if he ends up watching this, he'll tell you that was the one that had like the road course set up. Like Grumpy always did a little things like outside the box. And so I went with Grumpy a couple times to Southern National. And the one time was when we had like the right front was like a road course.
Yeah, you hit that grate in the back.
That was coming to Tech. But then there was the year I went with the 44, and that thing was pinned to the ground. Remember that thing was
That thing looked pretty good. It got rained out that year, right?
Yeah. Well, I also spun out off of two.
In front of Pulliam.
It almost got destroyed by Pulliam.
Yeah.
And I didn't almost get destroyed by Pulliam. Pulliam almost got destroyed by me.
Yeah, well, I will say that if it was cold as shit
that time, though. Remember how cold it was?
Oh, yeah. If you have some bad luck in the car, that's one of the guys you want behind you is Lee Pulliam. I remember the year we were battling for the lead with Tommy at the icebreaker. The 400 in November. We broke an axle coming to restart, and Pulliam was right behind us. And luckily, he kept it off of us because I couldn't do anything.
Yep.
Like just one wheel about spun out in a straightaway, and that could have created a big deal. But Pulliam, heads up, got off of it.
Well, I think, lack of experience on my end. We were there, and it was super cold that time. The story we're telling, different story, the 44, super cold. And I'm out there, like, scuffing in, like, gassing up, braking, trying to get heat and everything I can. And Grumpy goes, that should be good. I'm like, that is not good. And so I went almost went three quarters, but even three quarters didn't work. I gassed up center. I barely touched the gas, and that thing just went whoop.
And that place and I'm assuming that you couldn't get it to the bottom because it was probably chattering. And that place is weird, very line sensitive. If you're up a groove, there's a bump on the exit.
Yeah.
If you hit that bump in the wrong way, it's going to pitch out.
Yep. But
we got to go back that Sunday, though. We were just happened to be. You did come back that Sunday, was helping. And I mean, we love Chapman. But we were pushing to qualifying grid, and he was right in front of us, and I just saw Steve out there just getting mad. And I said, dude, don't make this weird for us, please.
Son of a bitch.
I got a race against him today. You're not. Don't say anything.
All I gotta do,
he's got some big boys on that team, too. He might kill us all.
So Chris and I have been friends for a long time, and I love some Chris Chapman, but I definitely – he wasn't my favorite person that weekend because, I sell it to Owen. I sell it to anyone else. Just third to fourth, man. Like, just make sure you get there. Like whatever you gotta do, if you gotta lose some positions, it's fine, but just go ahead and get it. Because I like way back there, that's who it hurts. It never hurts up front.
That's true.
Because he stayed fine. It never hurts up front because it's always the people in the back, because I'm back there and I'm just like I said, I was tucked in behind Brooke, and I'm just like, all right, let's go. Let's stay on top of it, because I know I gotta either get down because we know that's important, or I gotta make a pass quick, so I need to stay on my restart. So I'm focused more on her and then Gracie behind me. And all of a sudden, it just started just bang, 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 bang. And it's too late by that.
And that plays in, like you said, like on back in the fields where it hurts. Just like we talk about going together to restart line. At least some guys know where they're going to fire off.
Right.
So if you do that restart box, now it might benefit the leader, who should dictate the race, I think. But if you think about the overall picture of it, it does hurt the guys in the back. They're like, oh, he might go early. Let me go now.
Right.
And it just creates a fiasco behind you.
So the other part we talked about, and you were there with us when we talked to Greg about it, was in my terrible spotting for Greg Peterson. I did tell him, though.
That was pretty good for the 33 car, though.
Yeah, yeah,
you're doing a really good job for the 33 car.
If the 33 would have been listening to me, definitely would have known what was going on. But but I said to the 33, I said, hey, we're back here towards the back half. I said, we do not need to get tore up over a missed shift here. Like, that was my, like,
I've been I've done that.
Yeah, I went straight
it'll
to
ruin
it.
Your day, ruin your weekend.
It'll ruin
your life.
you'll never forget about it from here forward. So, yeah, so anyways, I guess as I said previously, I digress. It was had a great time, and Mike and them, they come up with fun stuff. And, man, I know how excited the two of us were going in there. And then for you to come home victorious that weekend.
It's a big one for us, yeah.
Was big.
Sunday got wild on the track. That second race on Sunday, there was a lot of beating and banging. And we had a race that very next weekend at Myrtle Beach. So I think we finished fourth in the first one on Sunday. And then we were running like fourth or fifth in the second one, but it just got too wild. I just checked out. I said, we need this car next weekend.
Yeah, I wouldn't know. Now here we go. No, I didn't even see it. But the thing we've talked about, though, is that win for you solidified your talents, because it wasn't that like you've raced Myrtle Beach Speedway forever. And you've been good there, and you've done good there, but you went to a new place.
That was my only race or at another track.
But at that time, that was like cream of the crop stuff. That was why in practice for me, I was happy with my speeds, because I was like, man, I'm at least in top 10 against like the greatest of the greats when it comes to late model stocks. And then you went and won a race, and it wasn't like you just won a race at Southern National. You won a race against the best.
Yeah, man, when you look behind us, I think Peyton finished third that night. Bradley was only pretty good there at that race. He finished second. But Bradley McCaskill, Peyton Sellers, then you look in the pits, and you see Mike Looney, and you see Philip Morris. Like, wow, I just won this race.
Yeah, yep.
And I even said it. I think Langley Awesome was interviewing me for race 22, and I said, this is like the Martinsville for me.
Yeah.
Because I know we can't afford that. So this is the only time I've ever ventured away from Myrtle Beach, and to get a win, only time doing so, it was huge.
Yep. No, it was good. It was, again.
It got me far.
Here we are on top. So we really, really make it. Really made it. So congratulations, Brian, on your win. Like I said, Southern National has been one of Brian's and I's favorite tracks to go to.
It just looks neat. I mean, it probably plays into there's no grass in the infield. That's just things that you got to keep up on. Grass gets killed when you clean the infield. Cigarette butts and everything. Tire rubber shreds gets in the grass and looks bad. But there's no grass there, and they can always vacuum it up. They got the equipment to do anything you want.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Diaz, really, God, he's got everything.
Yep. Yeah, so we went up there Saturday, had a good show, a good way to open for ultrabroadcasting.com as well as Speed Week. So it was good kind of soft open. And now, man, coming into tomorrow, looking at 22 cars, our guys, we got Cody, Casey, Matt, Sam.
Yep.
Going up against the Dylan Newsoms of the world, the
and it's a 95 showdown second race, so it's a race within the race. These guys might not be competing for the win, which I think they will be,
of course,
but if they're not, they might be competing for ninth. But it's like kind of another race in itself.
So this is this is off topic, hence why we drink beer and we talk in the microphone. Is so we got done Saturday night, and Arch and Mason were going to County Line Speedway.
See, that's what I enjoy about day races. You can do that.
Oh, yeah.
You can do a doubleheader. If there's a track close by, you get done. Oh, because we went green at 3. And I think we were done, 4:30 or so?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty good. I love it.
Okay, so we ended up at a dirt track and met up with Dylan Newsom and his whole crowd, in the infield. And, man, we love some asphalt racing. But as an asphalt racetrack owner, I would love to own a dirt track. Because it seems like every single time you go to a dirt track, it is
a huge
following.
Yep.
I mean, and it was my favorite kind. Like, you rolled in, and it was like, all right, here's give me your 40. All right, there's $40.
Bucks. I thought you were talking about beers. I mean, you followed.
Well, no, but they didn't care. Like, beers in, you're in the pits. You just park wherever. Like, it's a free for all. There's fires and pits and like things going on. It was so much fun. And watching dirt racing got me super excited about our Lakeview show coming up on March 22nd. Like, I saw it and I was like, man, this angle is going to be great and this angle is going to be good. Because watching that yaw in the cars, like the way they're coming down the backstretch. But then out of nowhere, Becca Malone, who's raced here in a Bando and raced against Owen in a Bando, is there racing a super late model. So talked to his dad for a minute. And, man, it's cool to kind of be a part of now Owen's stuff. And seeing his friends doing different things and then randomly ending up at County Line Speedway and watching him run a super. Because those supers, like, I've never raced dirt, but watching it, man, like, it looks like a ton of fun.
It does.
So, but, no, so we got to go to County Line Speedway, and it, then, we finished that off, went home, spent the night, back in the camper at Southern National, and came here, Sunday, and, did some stuff, today at the Florence Motor Speedway to get ready for our race, but, we're back at, Southern National tomorrow, and with that being said, you know, we're, gonna kind of take this, show on the road, so On Tap is gonna hit the streets. Is there anything before we hit the road that you were thinking we needed to talk about going into this break?
I don't think so. I'm excited about getting going here. I hope I don't ruffle too many feathers from the tower. Hope we don't have any people coming after me. That track, I mean, it's good. Like I said, the visibility is good for the tower. Don't have anything like obscuring your vision. I'm here sometimes, you know, you got to look up or find it, but I mean, it's all right in front of you there. So I think we'll be in good shape. I-95 Showdown, Legends of Bandos tomorrow, and I think it's, what's 5,000 to win every day every for late day. Models.
Yep.
That's just... blows my mind.
Yep. And Mike,
I'm surprised it's not like 40 cars
yep
to sign up for it.
Mike always puts that out there and makes the dollar amount not a question.
That's the race purse each night, and then on top of that, just Speed Week champion.
Yeah,
there's another fun for that.
Yeah, so now it's gonna be a great weekend. I usually edit this kind of going into tonight and into tomorrow, and we had hoped to have a guest here, but I think we're going to kind of move to the next segment.
Knowing us, though, we'll wait here all night.
Yeah.
And we've done it before.
Be drunk as I'll get up.
We're like Herb Welch from SNL, just dead in the chair waiting.
Sure. But with that being said, we're going to take this show on the road, and we're going to go to Southern National. And we're going to go to Southern National because Brian loves some trivia, loves some movie, some movie stuff. So we're going to take you coming out of break. We're going to take you to break in a Wayne's World fashion, and we're going to come back, and we're going to be in Southern National for On Tap. Coming up this week, episode 8 is going to be traveling. But again, we're going Wayne's World.
We're going right now.
Yeah, go to break. All this, we made it. Look at all this. What is this thing?
We know that thing.
That's there. It is.
And we unfortunately know that thing.
Yeah.
Well, maybe. Hold. Wait.
No.
We still know that nothing thing. Right now.
Piece of garbage.
How did it get here before we got here?
I don't know. Our glasses didn't make it. No. That's unfortunate.
Oh, shoot.
But luckily for us, we know what we're doing.
Yeah, we're pretty committed. We were going mid. Transporting here, and I was hanging on like a son of a gun, just making sure I didn't spill it the whole time. Just like
we were jamming out to some Queen, right?
Yeah, Bohemian Rhapsody. Not that apparently anyone would know about it, but you know,
two of us do.
It's just us. But we're here, Southern National Motorsports Park.
It's a glorious view, too.
It is beautiful. Racing action. We just landed, so we're gonna have to catch up because we just landed on day 3. So we teleported and jumped into all the action. So
I just blew my mind.
Yeah,
jeez.
This is the crazy part about teleporting. I've always wanted to do that because, like, when you're in like Florida, like when we were leaving, and I know it's a 10-hour drive. I don't want to drive 10 hours. Could I just like go Star Trek? Is it Star Trek? Because that's gonna make me weird. But where you can just like beam me up, Scotty.
There's a lot of things about teleporting.
Yeah, but anyways, it's like teleport. I just want to push a button and be home. I don't want to have to go through the drive.
That would
part.
Be nice.
But we're here. Day 3, cars are pulling
to an upgrade.
In.
Though. We teleport to an upgrade. Like, we're just Studio 8. Easy.
Yeah, we definitely jumped quality-wise. Mike
so
Diaz.
So much more room for activities.
Yep. Yeah. Mike Diaz gave us a great platform. Paul, our producer, Burnham, we've got the name right now.
Look
so,
at you.
Yeah, I got it straight now. Paul built this thing overnight, literally. It stayed up until the wee hours of 7 o'clock this morning to send me a text. And
I can relate somewhat to that schedule. And I don't know about 7 a.m. That's not this pretty extravagant.
But, no, the studio turned out great. Racing action so far has been great. We had a chance to go ahead and talk to some of our drivers leading up to where we're at right now. Matt Cox stopped by the studios. Jared Fryer stopped by the studios. Winner of night 1. Doug Barnes stopped by the studios. Winner of night 2. I guess with no further ado, really, anything that you'd like to say? I don't want to step on your toes and not...
No, I'll just roll with the punches like I normally do.
If you need anything, just raise your hand and we'll get to you. But we're here, and we're still drinking beer without our mugs. Speed Weeks 2025, a lot of stuff on tap. The special edition, you're going to be watching this on Sunday following the last day, and we'll recap all of it. So thank you for joining us as always, and we appreciate you being here on tap. All right. Welcome to On Tap, on location here at Speed Weeks 2025. One of the drivers, one of our drivers at Florence Motor Speedway and Champion, Matt Cox, has joined us. He had a great night one. Where'd you end up coming home night one?
Finished third night one.
Yep. So always competitive wherever he goes, and we appreciate you joining us here. We just got done. Did you practice a little bit today?
We did this morning, try to get a little better. We finished dead last night, and weren't too good. Stunk it up pretty bad last night.
These guys are always working, trying to get faster every time. Like Matt, always got speed, especially qualifying. I mean, back in Myrtle Beach days, you always get amazed. Like, God, now he can lay down a lap. Yep. How does he do that? And then front row the first night, and then yesterday still qualified six, but I think they overhauled it from night one to night two, right?
We did, yeah. We changed about everything we could on it, and it was obviously the wrong way to go, and we were pretty bad last night.
Well, the nice thing about this, you can think about it and fix it and try it again, having these races back-to-back. You know, at Florence, if you have a bad night, you got weeks before you can actually see if it improved or you can make that change. With having a speed weeks like we've got this week where we're racing every single day, you know, I think it definitely is helpful to know going forward what changes work and what don't, because you still got 5,000 to win every single night. So you got, 50 laps tonight again?
Yep. I think it's got to think, too, for Matt and his guys. It's got to help build the notebook, because, you know, when you're accustomed to running Florence week in and week out, and then you're coming here just periodically throughout the season, like you said, you're back to back to back. So you know it's not got to readjust my line, figure out how to get around here again. You can just back that up easily the next day.
And we talked about it, obviously, when we opened the show. Brian and I spoke about our time here, which Brian's was a lot better than mine. But this track is definitely nothing like Florence Motor Speedway.
No, it's not. It's a lot different than Florence is, for sure. I think we ran up here in 2020 was the last time until this week. And it was nothing really like I remembered it being in 2020 when we came. But it's a lot different than Florence, for sure. And just, you know, the banking, I think the corners are a little tighter. Just the way it drives is a little bit different. Myself, I'm still partial to Florence. Probably like it a little better than here. But we're working on trying to get a little better here. And, you know, we got to come back, I guess, in June for the I-95 race. So we're just trying to get some notes to try to be a little better when we come back then, and then, you know, come back for the Classic in November to have a little bit of notes to lean on to come back here.
Yep, and the I-95 stuff, and obviously that was the best time to have your best finish, right? Yeah. There, you know, so to finish.
Points lead,
yeah. So to keep that intact, it was good. Going into tonight, I know took some big swings. I mean, I know it's always the same. You want to qualify in the pole and you want to win, but these 50-lap shootouts, if the car is where you want it, where's your brain as far as getting there and trying to, because we all know you got to get to the bottom. You know, it's kind of important to get down and go, but, you know, what's your overall goal? I mean, you got to go hard, right?
Yeah, I mean, you're going to run hard all night pretty much on a 50-lap race. You know, we kind of went back where we ran. You know, we tested most of the day on Tuesday and thought we were pretty good Tuesday afternoon. And then, you know, we were pretty good on Wednesday, I thought, with our speed we had. And we missed it a little bit in the race. But, you know, speed-wise, we had really good speed. And, you know, we kind of just went back to what we ran on Wednesday night for tonight and just, you know, see if we can get some of just that raw speed back and, you know, just have a little takeoff speed and try to get out front. And then, you know, you just hope it lasts for 50 laps.
Yeah, and one thing, too, for you, going back to Florence when we go back, you know, we talked about it in one of our episodes, we're actually going to be able to run the F45 Stars ourselves now, and so you've got a chance to get on them. I've heard different points of view as far as, you know, the right rears are kill on most of them, and what are your thoughts? Is it helpful to be on a Star, even if it's at Southern National, when we go home?
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll help just get some, you know, see how the tire feels. I think it is a little different than, you know, I guess you'd say the regular F45 or what we used to run on. But, I mean, I couldn't really tell a lot of difference from going from those to the Star here this weekend. And, you know, I think the Star's been fine, in my opinion. You know, we've put on four different sets now, I guess it is. And, you know, all four of them, the cars drove about the same as it drove on the set that come off of it. So, you know, I think the tire's probably okay. I think there is some rumors, maybe some are better than others, but I mean, you know, you really can't do anything about that. You know, you get four and hope four you get's good, and that's what you got to roll with.
Yep. And we all have the conversation all the time about, you know, tires in general. I mean, you have bad days, you have good days, and sometimes it's tire and sometimes it's not. But it's an easy go-to for a lot of people. I know, you know, at the Icebreaker, there was some conversation about this tire wasn't good and this tire wasn't good. But I know Brian and you spoke a little bit about it and said the same thing. You practiced on all kinds of different number combinations, and it felt like the car was the same every time you went out.
Yeah, it did feel like it was the same, you know. And, you know, I guess the easy thing for us at Florence, you know, we've got a really good package to start with there. So, you know, if for whatever reason our car is in left field there, then, you know, we kind of know it. Well, it's probably a tire because, you know, we kind of know what we need chassis-wise and where we need to be there. Here we don't really know. We're kind of just guessing at it to a certain extent and hoping we're good. You know, so it's easy to blame it on a tire when you don't really know if your chassis is that good or what you got under there is really good. It's easy to blame it. You know, that's an easy go-to to blame on. But, you know, I think the star tires – you know, been pretty good. I think all of them, I think one thing that helps is all of them, you know, are just now making them. So, you know, it's not like you got some tires that's been sitting for 2 months and got some that were just made. You know, pretty much all the star tires are pretty much fresh right now. So I think that's the main thing that kind of keeps it even is, you know, all the tires being fresh and been made about the same time.
I mean, I like also to reiterate his point, how they started at the beginning of the season. It's not like somebody has a season worth of notebook on the start. So everybody's on the same level page here right off to get going 2025.
Yep. Yeah, it was a good definitely was a good start. Got my boy Chris Stapleton is calling me. But
Junior's cup car too?
Yeah. That's what he's calling about. He's going to be sponsoring the racetrack. We're going back to Florence.
I thought he owned it.
But yeah, so it was a good start to the season with the Icebreaker, and good start here. I know yesterday didn't go as well as you were hoping, but I'm sure today will be better. You guys are good like that. But did you come here with your Florence? Because I've always heard that didn't do a ton of racing myself at Florence, but a lot of people say if you can have a good setup at Florence, you can pretty much take that to all the other tracks. Did you come baseline with that, or did you have something else in mind?
I mean, we came with a little something else in mind, you know, just for the banking here. You know, we didn't reinvent the wheel or anything, you know, to come here. We kind of come with a baseline, and we were okay when we unloaded. We worked on it a little bit and, you know, felt like we got it pretty good on Tuesday afternoon. And like I said, you know, we had really good speed. You know, that round of practice, everybody mocked up. We were the quickest in practice on Wednesday afternoon, that final practice. And felt like we missed it a little bit in qualifying on, Wednesday night. And still put a second, and you know, we kind of just rode there for a little bit and just, you know, we really haven't ran a race here until Wednesday night. So, you know, we didn't really know what the track did as far as when it cooled off and how the track changed, kind of like we do at Florence. But, you know, we kind of missed it from that standpoint. But we were still able to hold on and finish third. And then, you know, last night we struggled. But, you know, we were a little bit closer to what we tried to run at Florence last night. Weren't really that good, so we kind of went back with what we came with, what we unloaded with for Wednesday night, tonight. And our main focus was try to have a good run Wednesday night. And, you know, once we did that with the I-95 deal, you know, we kind of gambled a little bit last night to see, and it didn't pay off. So we're just going to kind of go back where we had some speed at, and hopefully it'll pay off for us tonight and see if we can, you know, try to get back up front.
Wednesday night, we're at 125 laps straight through. Were you pretty surprised with the pace?
Yeah, actually, I was really surprised. You know, I thought Fryer, you know, obviously he had a really good car. He laid down a really good lap in qualifying, and his car looked really good early in the race. And I didn't really want to run that hard, near that hard, and I didn't think anyone would. But, you know, I figured it would probably be a caution, but we ran 30, 40 laps there, what it was, and no cautions. And his car looked really well, and, you know, kind of just made a decision that, you know, you're probably going to have to outrun him to win it, it looked like. And, you know, his car looked so good, you really couldn't – you weren't going to be able to just fall back and ride and give him, like, a straightaway lead and try to go run him down. So, you know, we kind of just went with mindset that, you know, hey, we're just going to – if that's how hard he's going to run, we're just going to have to run that hard too. And if we burn it up, we just burn it up. But our only shot to win is probably try to stay close to him if we can. And, you know, we weren't able to stay close to him by any means. But, you know, we were able to hold on and finish third. But he was definitely in the class of the field on Wednesday night for sure.
I know he talked about it in his I think he talked about it in his post race, but he definitely talked about it afterwards. With all, we were hanging out and said about five more laps and he was done. He said that thing was junk coming checkers. He said he was sideways. He wasn't showboating off of four. He said that thing just pitched, and he said if I would have had a couple more laps, it was going to be over for me. So yeah, it's definitely interesting. You know, great car counts for Speed Weeks. You know, there's 22 good cars as always, and late model stock racing has gotten to a point. Anywhere you go, if there's late models there, they have a chance to be good, because you got to put so much work into these things to stay. Like back in the day, you could throw a body on something and show up at the racetrack and it was whatever. But now, with all of the geometries and all the bump stops and all the technology that's involved in these things, every car is competitive. And so to go out there and to be up front as much as you guys are, it's a testament to your guys' program and what you do.
Yeah, and I mean, it does. You know, there's a lot of good cars here. There's a lot of, you know, the weekly races here, the weekly races at Florence, there's a lot of good cars there, and it just kind of shows, you know, Fryer was on the pole, we were on the outside pole Wednesday night, and then last night, you know, Fryer was fifth, and we were seventh last night, you know, so it was just, you know, which just tells you, you know, the front row from Wednesday night to qualify on the front row was fifth and seventh the next night, just, you know, there's that many good cars here. I think, you know, like third last night was maybe a 45 it was, or a 44, and we were seventh with a 48. So right. It was just
tight.
So tight, you know, and everybody's just so close. One little slip, and it's like you're from third to, you know, seventh, eighth, ninth, just by one little slip. And it's just, you know, there's probably eight or nine cars here that could possibly win tonight. You know, it's just very tight, you know, field. And it's kind of like that anywhere you go into late models now, just super close and competitive.
You think for here it touches a little bit on the locals, like the tracks seem to be very temperamental. Like I think last night's qualifying as opposed to Wednesday night's qualifying, there was a pretty big difference there in track conditions.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we really hadn't got a grasp on it. But yeah, the track's very temperamental. It seems like the temperature. We hadn't really, you know, I don't really know. I still don't know, you know, to be honest with you. I don't really know what we need tonight in the race with it being so late. I really don't know what we need. We're just kind of going at it blind, and hopefully what we got works. And, you know, if it doesn't, it doesn't. But, you know, I think we're at a disadvantage a little bit from, you know, people that have raced here a lot. And, you know, I think some of that shows, you know, Doug is probably out of most of them here. You know, he's ran, I think, the Thanksgiving Classic the last couple of years. He's come up here and ran some weekly stuff. You know, he's got a little bit of experience here with the track in different conditions. So I do think that benefits them. And, you know, Fryers ran here a decent amount and some other people. So, you know, we're just kind of gambling at it and see what it does. I guess tonight, if it's like last night, I guess both nights we've qualified almost one of the last ones to go out. And I guess tonight, if it's like last night, I guess we'll be the first car out tonight. Right. So, you know, it's who knows what's going to happen, honestly.
Well, I like how you guys are trying stuff to build that notebook, like you said, for when you come back in June and then later in the year. I mean, you'll know which way to go, which way not to go. To answer your question earlier, apparently the Florence setup, he said to try last night, that did not work.
Yes, I don't.
But can you blame him for trying the Florence setup? But that was an ass cut near the icebreaker.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, we got we're up here with Matt. We're gonna go ahead and Brian's phone just lost our image in the background, so I think that's our sign to take our next segment. We're gonna be here doing a lot of cool stuff all week. We've been doing a lot of cool stuff all week. Got our nice little studio here that Paul put together for us. So stay tuned. We got some more action.
Steve, question.
Oh, here we go.
I think
again.
Matt's got some partners and people he might.
All right, fine.
Come on,
whatever,
Steve.
Brian.
Come on.
Who do you want to thank, Matt?
We'll just go with Aaron Sales and Lease, Heritage Transportation, Renegade Racing Fuels, Robert Elliott Engines, McCombie Elliott Racing. You know, everyone makes it possible. We'll, you know, couldn't do it without them, and we'll try to have some fun for two more nights, I guess. Hopefully have some fun for two more nights.
Yeah, Brian has to try to fit in where he can get in it's going to end up getting violent.
Well, yeah, last night you were asking about who can come on, this and that, and like, yeah, we'll do this time, and I'm just standing in the back. Do I have a freaking say-so in this? I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Nope. Easy with a swearing already. It's already.
I said Jesus Christ. I didn't say cuss word. I'll get you mad in a little while. You'll drop one.
Yeah, I got the beep already. So anyways, that was our chance to catch up with Matt. We got a night three. Hopefully it's better than night two, but in a couple spots better than night one. So we thank Matt for joining us, and stay tuned for more On Tap.
Thanks for having me.
All right, welcome back to On Tap. had a chance to talk to Matt Cox, and now here we are with last night's winner. We got Doug Barnes. Doug, welcome to the show again.
Thank you.
Again?
Yeah, again.
It's like Saturday Night Live. He's going to be like the one host that comes back more than anybody.
He's done two locations.
Two
and,
episodes.
We got to bring him back because every time that we put anything of content with Doug Barnes on it, the numbers skyrocket. So, like, currently I have this on the Apple podcast, all the podcast platforms. And every time I go in just to see the episode numbers, yours from episode, I think, 3, continually keeps going up. And I'm like, but we just did one. Why is that one going up? And listen to that
well,
one.
Well, I know how Steve works. You're probably like, what did I say that was so funny? Oh, wait, maybe Doug was on it. That's why.
Yeah, no, that's you're going to make my head too big. Yeah. We got to chill out.
But Doug, a great night last night. Actually, a good night, night one, really. Come home second and then come home with a win yesterday. While we were talking to Matt, just talking about, you know, obviously we've had our conversations from the icebreaker. Tires are, you know, there's conversations. He says that he's been good so far and up and down pit road. They're talking about it because it's new, right? The Star is new for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, you had a chance. You've had a Cars Tour race on them, right?
Yeah, we ran New River last week, week before, something like that.
So, I mean, what are your thoughts, first off, on the new tire?
I like them. I'm pretty good at the races where you're, like, running around, and then you come through at the end. You kind of just run, like, a slow pace the whole time. But as long as you're not running too fast, you're not going to drop off too slow. So you just stay at, like, a pretty stagnant pace the whole race, and then it usually works out for me. But this is different. Like, you have to conserve a little bit. And maybe not so much conserve, but be mindful of your right side tires. Like, you're not going to go into the corner and push through it and burn your right front, and you don't want to burn your right rear. So you still have to be mindful, but you can actually drive it. Like, last night, me and Jared were driving the hell out of the car. You know what I mean? There wasn't, like, I was mindful coming up off the corner, but there wasn't a lap where I'm like, okay, I need to save some tire here for lap 50. I was like, no, I got to go because I know he's not saving anything, and you know, if I had started saving, he would have known. He would have caught me.
Right.
But I got in all that lap traffic.
Right. 50 qualifiers. That's always fun.
Yeah.
Especially here.
Well. Yeah.
Well, it's super cool what Mike's doing anyways. We talked about it. It's nice because you got every day you got a new day to try either try something new or, you know, hope that the car just stays good the entire time. But every single night, 5,000 to win. You know, Brian and I, we cringe to put one up every year, or actually two big money races. But
they were here the whole time, icebreaker. That's a good purse. You know? Yeah. What's it? Nightly here.
Yeah, it's nightly. So it's, and it's super. We talked about with Matt too is the car count has been great and the cars are top notch from front to back. We talked about the idea that, you know, you got to have. Any late model stock right now is a good late model stock.
Yeah.
So there's no one out there that's, I mean, everyone from front to back has a chance to win. But competition moved around a little bit day two. You know, Matt talked about he had the pole and then went to seventh, and Jared had the outside pole and then went to qualify in seventh. So every night's different. Going into tonight, definitely a big temperature change for today. You know, but you've got a lot of experience here at Southern National and had a lot of good success here.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts going in? Any big, I'm assuming no big moves, but any changes for today?
No, not really. After night one, I kind of wasn't satisfied with their drive. I think that was part of the reason why I didn't fire off too well. And in my head, I was kind of conservative. I didn't want to be that guy that went too hard because I kind of started deeper in the field. But, you know, then going into yesterday, we tightened it up on exit, and that was, I think, what made us so good in the race. But the track was also different yesterday because it was, you know, cloud cover. But it was kind of still warmer. And then today, now we have cloud cover, and it's cold outside.
Right.
So, you know, we'll shake it down in practice. I'm hoping that it doesn't tighten up too much, but I don't think there's too much of a difference between now and the race last night, if anything.
Yeah, I think it's pretty close.
Yeah, so for practice, it should be fine. We'll see for the race because it's probably going to drop, like, what, another 10, 15 degrees, I think.
So. Leanne's actually behind the scenes. What'd you say the low is today? I think it's 47 later. Yeah, so 47 later when we get the green flag. So
yeah.
Definitely going to be interesting to see how it all shakes out for that that end. What do you think? So Mike and Mason always are working super hard to just make quality racing here at Southern National, and we've talked about it. The facility has always been amazing, and he just keeps adding things and new stuff and working his tail off to make a great racetrack. Yesterday, before the first practice, I went out there, and him and Mason worked their butt off again to put the PJ1 stuff down.
I think somebody's pretty thankful for that.
Yeah,
the initial start.
Me and Mason had a conversation about that last night because, like, I fired off on the top on the outside, and really, that should be a death wish. I should be third at the minimum, like after the first lap. But it also helped that I think Dylan probably started pressures a little low. I'm sure you could see the car sparking. But when I got back in the throttle coming out of two, it stuck. And I'm like, well, if I can pin him out of four, you know, we're going to have the lead here. And then I probably could have cleared him getting into one, but I didn't want another incident like I had with Connor. So I gave him one more corner.
What happened with Connor?
We got tangled.
Tell us more. Tell us more.
I think I was. I think it's two aggressive race car drivers being aggressive. But yeah, so then I cleared him off too. And I couldn't believe how much grip I had, because like normally when you try and get back to the throttle, just like feels like it's going, but you're not really going anywhere because the bottom has that much more grip. So it definitely gripped up. And then I watching the broadcast back last night, like I watched Lainey run the top for probably 15 laps last night. And, you know, she fended off what she needed to.
And that's not usual.
Back to Lainey, I was wondering what was going through his head one time, because you were coming up on lap traffic. We had a conversation Wednesday night, which we talked about in the driver's meeting. But when you got to Lainey one point, I was like, is Doug like, that's my teammate in somewhere else, but you got to move now.
Lainey's spotter, Jordan, is actually directly across from me in the hotel. So I saw him the night before, and he told me after the first race, he's like, yeah, when you were coming, I was like making sure that she got out the way. And then I was seeing that they were racing when I was catching him last night. I'm like, man, please have that conversation. Yeah. That conversation wasn't a thought to them that night. But, you know, they were racing for a position that time. Absolutely. So it wasn't like the night before where it was just them. But it was getting dicey to the point that another lap I would have had to either boot the inside car or take
a Jared had to turn on at point two.
Yeah.
And we talked about in when you were with us the first time at On Tap is that you have this year to drive a little bit of everything, right? You got we talked about the Ferrari and then being with the Toyota stuff, right? And these guys, it seems like your car, you know, it's just as good as it's been. And I know it's a whole different team and a whole different setup, but it seems like the 88, the Ferrari is still pretty sporty.
Yeah, well, we took a lot of good notes from here back in November, because that was the last time that we raced here was the Classic. So I haven't, you know, we haven't done anything with that car outside of prep it to come here. So we knew that this was going to be our first race together once I signed with Pulliam. And I was really looking forward to this week, and I really felt like we had a good chance of winning that race before we got tangled up in that wreck. And then even after, we still had a good chance at winning that race. So I knew we'd be solid. A big thing here, I just feel like a lot of people approach these races wrong. You know what I mean? Like, even though we can go hard on these tires, you're running unrealistic laps when you go out there and you just run the hell out of it for 10 laps. You're never going to do that in the race. Right. You got to, like, find what it's going to do under less load, and that's, like, what we practice. So, like, we'll bust off a quick lap, but then if you pay attention to my times, it's going to be, like, 3 or 4 tenths off, because I want to see what it's going to do during the race pace. So I know going into it, it's going to last, and, you know, it's got speed when we get down to it. So last night was a shorter race, so we started the pressures a little higher because we didn't need to run 125 laps, and it just works out because I don't know. Dustin and the guys, they always find a way to build a good car.
Yep. And I should know this, but when's the next car store race? Where and where?
29th. It's at Wake.
Oh, Wake. Oh, yeah. So
that's going to be a tight one.
That's a tight one. Yeah. So
been to Wake before?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I almost won the.
Oh, yeah. I think I watched that episode.
Tyler Matthews.
Yes, exactly right. As I'm looking right at you, I watched that episode. I'm reminded now.
But we talked about too. I do have your subscription. I do watch as many, but I can promise you the kids know which. They probably could rattle off like episode.
Oh, you made a cool little appearance last.
Yeah, night.
It's kind of weird, but yeah.
Was it in there?
He had some comments after his own.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I haven't started
King
editing.
Jong, but
Steve did the outro for the second race of Speed Week.
Yeah, still when
Steve's eyes were floating. He don't even remember
that. Gets late. get tired. Hey, speaking of cars coming in, it's pretty cool though being here at Southern National in our new studio for our remote
studio,
because we can look down and see Tyler, and we also see AJ Sanders pulling in with the mini stock. So cool setup here, and just an all around great weekend. 50 laps again tonight, and then 100 tomorrow. Today's going to be a little bit similar, I'm sure, strategy-wise, but then now you come back again. I didn't even look what the weather's supposed to be like tomorrow. No, we're good on no rain, but warmer.
Look at the elevator. I think it's going to be like 70 tomorrow.
Yeah, it's supposed to be warm. Okay. So
that'd be nice.
Completely.
So. Yeah, and it's a day, we get started in daytime.
Yeah, daytime. So, yeah. But what are your thoughts on the whole Speed Week concept? I was talking about being able to go back-to-back-to-back. What you think, and what are your thoughts on how it's going so far?
Well, we're running great. And
that makes it easier.
To make the trip, but I hate to be this guy to be like, oh, the pay, but it really doesn't cost me much to run like my own operation. You know what I mean? So like yesterday I got $2,000 for finishing second. That was my tires up to that point.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yep. And then a couple $100 on top of it. That's my team's wristbands. And then we won $5,000 last night. So that's the tires and the hotels. It makes a big difference. And it just, I don't know. Cause like, what do you usually race for?
On our end, we're 2,000 every our regular races.
Yeah, but we're terrible. We suck.
Jesus. We're just trying to reevaluate. We're trying to rub two nickels together.
I think I've won some races when I was going for the national championship. Like not at Florence, but it probably paid like $500-$600.
Did you get your check?
From
us. Did it come?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, sitting on top of my washer actually.
Yeah. So. you don't know how many times that's crazy. Like we'll send checks out. And then it'll be months later. And it could be a big check.
It's in the slow months, too.
Yo, yeah.
Everybody, let's go put them in.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, all right, man, come on.
Let's drain them now.
Yeah, like it's just crazy. Like me, especially running the racetrack, every time a check comes in, I'm like, mobile deposit, let's get that in there. Hurry up.
Brian, this week, let's skip him another week.
We'll yeah, man, he'll be fine. He can sleep over if he needs to.
But it makes a big difference, really, like just stuff like that and like minimizing your expenses. And like if we win another race, like I'm going to leave here with some money in my pocket,
right.
Which I've only done that one other time in my entire career. Yeah. So like that's cool. Like I it's difficult to commit to it because we've been fortunate this week that we haven't torn anything up. Nobody has. We haven't even had a caution.
Way to ruin it, but go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I watched the broadcast. They were talking about how we didn't have a caution before the race started last night, and then we didn't. So I'm hoping it can stay the same tonight. But last year I heard it was different.
Yep.
I heard it was a wreck fest last year.
And we talked, Ryan Wilson was saying, like, the crowd you're dealing with here seemed like they're just so respectful right now. Hopefully that continues. Yeah. But everyone's using their heads. No one's driving out of control and doing stuff that they don't need to. So yeah, I had to go. It's so crazy. Like I have so many hats that I wear. As far as you know, we got the racetrack promoter side, we got the race car driver side, and now we have this production side. So yesterday, I know as a race promoter, Jacqueline upstairs would have lost her mind if you even talked about the fact that there's been no cautions. But I saw that full moon, and you guys know from doing like your videos, yeah. I saw the full moon, and I was like, "Oh, that's gonna be really cool though if we can like."
I heard Postman talking about it.
Did you get that? Did you film the moon?
It's so foggy.
Yeah. It's so foggy.
Yeah. Well, it still worked for me. We're just we're making baby steps. We don't have high quality Doug Barnes videos. But we talk about a drone that goes pace cars.
They say they don't have high quality. They have 1, 2, 3 cameras in the same room, 3 microphones. Yep. We're working off one of everything.
But like I said, the production side, it's fun to talk about because people are sitting at home and had good. The numbers are growing, so hopefully they're seeing what you're doing. And I know everyone. I know I'm not going to say that I'm a Doug Barnes fan again because I did that a lot the last time.
You say it every episode.
Maybe that's what made that video get so many views.
Yeah, right. They're like But looking forward to. I know people tune in to watch the stuff you do on YouTube, and it is great. You and Landon do a good job to just build content and keep everybody intrigued. And I know on your end, you definitely do a good job of toting the line of when to kind of go over the line or kind of like dip your toe on the other side, especially when you get angry. But it's great stuff, and we appreciate everything that you do as far as supporting us, whether it's just coming up here and doing this because you got things I'm sure you need to be doing.
We had a pretty good race car last night.
Yeah, that's kind of wax on, wax off. Yeah, that's good.
So. But he got so Doug got his laundry done, so that was good. Thankfully the car's been good, so got all your chores done for the day.
Yeah, you would think you look at the calendar, you're like, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 days, and I packed for 2, so that made a lot of sense. So.
Well, it was Wednesday when it was like 80 degrees, Steve's in a hoodie. I didn't pack a t-shirt.
Yeah. God, dude.
Didn't bring nothing. We were at Florence, and I was like, I grabbed 3 or 4 things. So tomorrow, for anyone that sees me when I'm wearing a blue Florence Motor Speedway sweatshirt that you see currently on air,
stay away.
It's not a second one.
Charlie Brown green odor will be around you and everything.
It's not another one. Do my best all day to just like don't touch anything. Keep it as clean as possible. But no, it's a great week, and the 88. Let's go back to the other 88. The Lee Pulliam car, race one. How'd it go? For the car store side, I know you guys did a little bit of work together, but how was car store?
So we went. I've never been to the river before, so the most I had leading up to it was just film, pretty much, just watching races back, scrolling through YouTube, seeing if I could find like some in car, just because like looks different in the cockpit than it does on the track, you know. So I feel like I did my homework pretty well, and we went there and tested the Monday before the race, and we were awful. was rough. And
pretty
then,
unique line around that place.
It's
right?
Wild. Yeah. Lee told me on the phone before we went there. He said the first time that he watched the car go down in turn one there, he thought they cut a tire because the way you arc it back up to the wall before he cut back in, and so I knew what to do. I felt like I had pretty good marks. I had some help. I talked to Brendan a good bit, and he's been good there, and. So Monday went bad. We made some changes to our team, and came back on Friday basically starting over. So we just, Laney was decent, so we just went off everything she did. And I felt like we were good. We were really missing in on mock run speed. We couldn't put down a good qualifying lap at all. And I like to think I'm a good qualifier. So I kept telling him, I'm like, I got it. Don't worry about it. Don't sweat it. I've never been here before.
What is your thing? Don't you throw up? Before qualifying?
I don't throw up, but I almost throw up. It's the only thing that makes
you know a lot of information about Doug. Good.
We've drank the South Carolina 400, to be fair.
I know he's your favorite fan driver. I know that. You know your laundry, the list of everything. This guy.
The only thing he knows he's not allowed to do is go drink beer with the Zacharias in Martinsville because nothing good comes
from it. I always get hurt.
But anyway, sorry. Go back to your qualifying efforts at New River.
So we did like some mock runs and we weren't bad, but we weren't great. And I was like, don't worry, don't sweat it. I've never been here before. I'm learning something each time. And so we go to the qualifying, like actual qualifying now. And I get through turn one and two, and I'm going down the backstretch. I'm like, man, that was money. That was money. We got it. I was like, this is top five minimum, maybe even the pole. And I go down to turn three. I get to the bottom. Money again. I step on the throttle and that thing drove straight through the front tires, almost hit the outside wall. We barely made the race. Oh, so shit. Then we had to, you know, change not so much expectations, but our game plan, you know, because we anticipated on being up front to start the race. So then we kind of just had to ride around and save tires. And kind of like night one, I oversaved a little bit because I didn't really know how hard was too hard on the 45 stars. So rode around in the back the whole time. Every wreck happened in front of me. I think I had to stop like three or four times. Almost got arca braked by the 47. That was insane. And then it was time to go, and we really picked them off. We got up the 13th, and we got lucky with a late race caution, and then I just started moving everybody, and we finished
second. I think the experience at Florence helps you out, too, because that track's pretty abrasive as well, right?
Oh, yeah.
We talked about it because we watched, before we filmed one of ours, we watched it back, the highlights, and I don't know what it was. I was blown away that towards the end of the race, you guys were just literally on the white line. Like, there was no, like, everyone was on the bottom. That whole concept was crazy.
Yeah. On the front straightaway,
I mean, yeah, you can basically drive, because Victory Lane sticks out, like, probably 3 feet into the track, mm-hmm. and then you're running over Victory Lane on some laps. Yeah.
But, no, it's a cool place. It's another one, you know, had a chance to go up there quite a bit just to look around. But they've done a good job, like, facility-wise. It's beautiful. Lighting is really good. They've got the really nice Muscos up there. So, cool facility. And then, so now you go from a track worn out and I don't even know what size. I think it's about the same as here size-wise. But go down to Wake County and walls everywhere and tight. But it's still – I've always been amazed. I've taken Owen there with the Bando.
To Wake.
But the racing there, even in late models, I mean, it's pretty good racing. I mean, you don't see them, knock on wood. Again, we're probably jinxing all of this, but seems like they don't really tear them up too bad when they go to Wake County.
See if you can say that 2 weeks from now. I don't have high hopes for that.
Mark that down for things to talk about.
I'm not calling on any particular drivers, but that car is through a bunch as well.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I learned that you got to be at the tire to be called inside by these spotters and that, because I don't know. There's a lot of chopping going on. I think Laney got involved like in three or four like wrecks where she literally just got chopped. Yeah. Like, and she got involved in one that I didn't see, but the other two, I was behind her. And there was multiple that didn't happen where they didn't spin out, but she was getting chopped. And then when I started going, I was getting chopped, but luckily I wasn't quite at their tires. So I'd hit them and they just bounce off me. But if you do that track like Wake, like it's so slow through the corner that I feel like you're going to see a lot of, like, people just driving into the left rear tires and just wrecking each other. Right. And I have been there, and that's what's happened. Right, so I think it's just going to be that on steroids because there's going to be, like, 24 cars there or something like that.
It's going to be wild.
Yeah. You got Brian, and so with the production stuff, I told Brian the other day, I haven't had a chance to really, like, watch everybody's racing, but I know Brian said you couldn't catch a break the other day when it came to lap cars trying to get to
Wednesday, they were pretty rough. We had, like I said, we talked about it in Jarvis Beaton. They were a little bit better last night. Hopefully that continues on. Yeah. It was pretty rough.
Especially when you're in
the going for three wide for a position right in front of the leaders.
But no, it's been a great week so far.
I'm just glad we're talking again because that icebreaker, if we go back a little bit, Doug was like, I'm going to freaking talk to Stephen Ryan. He's tired.
He knew he's done this before.
Was not mad at you guys. Yeah. I understood the circumstance, but I was like, I was buying tires. And I'm like, every time I go out there, I'm like, oh, my God, we're terrible. And I was like, I don't get it. I was like, Lee's got good stuff. I'm really good here personally. And I was like, we're junk. I don't understand it. And they're like, it's probably the tires. Yeah. I know, like, I wasn't a part of it last year when this whole thing was happening. They're like, it's the tires. Trust me. So we're junk. running terrible on new tires, and they put on Laney's set from here, literally from the Classic. And then she had started the day on, probably had 100 laps. I picked up 3/10.
Right.
I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm like wasting money.
Right.
Like, this is a, yeah,
that's
a joke.
Not what I hate, but I did enjoy our conversation because you knew that you already had a plan in place.
Yeah.
Well, so when it comes to qualifying a race time, everyone
exactly.
was on the same.
Yeah, that was the best way to go about it. But obviously, I didn't know that. I didn't know if it was going to be time for the race, and we're like, here you go.
Yeah,
but
wish you luck.
They had it.
We were going to originally. That was the plan.
I'm glad we did.
Thankfully, Brian intervened. He didn't even have to raise his hand. He just went and did.
Funny how I can do things by myself. Thank you.
They basically had all the barcodes like matched perfectly, so everybody had the same exact stuff for the race.
Which definitely, which I would imagine, based on now that, because we didn't know we were going to F45 stars this year. We kind of were under the impression, we talked about it in one of our shows, that we'd
so
be
you
on.
You are for local.
We
races.
Are, yeah, we're back, yeah. So just
roll up breaking news, Florence.
Yeah,
actually going.
Yeah, late model stocks would be on F45 stars. As well as, I mean, really, like we are here today, I believe the transition has happened. I think they really put put some effort into getting those F45 stars, the quantity up to the point where all the tracks can go to it. Because that race, what I was getting at was, we didn't know this going into it, but now we're on F45 stars. But the numbers, usually we'll get a group of numbers that it's like 151 and like this, like you'll get 75% or a set of tires. But Brian, he's like, man, these things are all over the place. Like, as far as like the numbers, so they must have been like, all right, maybe these ones we need to start to exit. Because I mean, you got to get rid of it. We talked about it with the tire stuff. They're not going to just sit on them. You know what I mean? They can't just throw them away and be like, oh, they got to find somewhere for them to go. And they look and probably should be just as good as everything else, because at the end of the day, it's a sticker tire. It's brand new, whether it ends up being good or not. They're going to take a new tire and give it to a racetrack that needs new tires.
I think they definitely went about it the right way this year. Like we talk about with Matt, and I'm sure you're going to reiterate as well, is last year when they were trying to STs, it was only Cars Tour and only South Boston. But now, at the beginning of 2025, everything with F45 stars. So no one's going to have an advantage 2026 over another team because they have a whole year worth of notes on it. So I think that's the right way to do it.
I enjoy them so far. I think it's going to be interesting because they obviously have a ton of them. So now everybody's getting them. So we'll see how they age. I think that might be, you know, because like from what I've heard, even with like the regular 45s last year and at Florence, like you might have a set that it's like you think it's good. You've had success on this barcode before, and then you go out there and it's just completely different. Mm-hmm. So as of right now, it seems to me everything's been consistent. My practice tires, race tires, everything I've done has just all been consistent. So I just hope it stays that way.
Definitely good to hear.
Yeah. Watch your feet over there. I just saw a little mouse come check
us
out. Yeah, yeah. He just went into the closet. I was waiting. I was trying to prepare the girls.
Okay.
We won't
judge that mouse.
But I said, I just was prepared for the girls to like see it and start screaming mid podcast. So
I saw you kept looking. Yeah, I thought somebody was messing with me.
I was wondering. It came out from underneath that little box there, and then it came. I thought it was coming our way, and it was like looked around. I was like, I don't want to see this, and then turned around and went back.
That's special.
Not a pet, right?
It's killing, not killing. Yeah, it's not a
like
pet.
Like Mr. Jingle.
I saw it. I actually saw it earlier. I didn't know it'd make it all the way up here. It climbs each step, like goes straight up it, goes to the next one.
I'm a man that wears different hats. I'm doing all these jobs. You're watching a mouse.
Yeah, I was watching it.
I was just watching, so I didn't go
every move.
I watched it because I didn't want to get near it. I was like, all right, where are you going there, pal? Let's make some moves here. But
it's courteous to the mouse.
Hey. I grew up in the Mickey Mouse era. You guys wouldn't know anything about that.
You were born in 1928.
No, I mean, there was a
easy
time.
Let's pump the brakes.
Mickey Mouse was still around in the 80s.
We were alive.
So was an MTV. But
we were just having conversations about when I was born right before this, because you guys were bringing up. So I don't even know if it was a band or a location you were even talking
about.
We
came out.
I can't make Steve mad because he's going to drop the F-bomb again.
No, he's not. He's keeping it. I might, though.
Third person now. He's keeping it.
No, it came out of the break to Wayne's World. We kind of thought it would be clever to have our little moment.
Really,
and but I've tried to explain because we're building this and it's going to get edited and put together for hopefully Sunday afternoon because we're doing our special edition. And I told these guys, I was like, oh, you should see it. You remember that part in Wayne's World when it does the transition scene? They're like, I don't know, what's a Wayne's World? I'm like, oh, yes.
Yeah. I still don't. So is it a movie? Or?
A movie, yeah.
Okay.
It's based off of Saturday Night Live skit.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's got Mike Myers who does Shrek. Does that help? The voice of Shrek.
I know who he is, but it's not gonna
That's what we should do. Is like Brian's really good. Start at Wayne's World and start adding in Mike Myers movies to see when you get to the age that they actually remember. So
if we get to Love Guru, you've gone too far.
Yeah, it's way too far.
I'm out the lunch of this conversation.
Brian's really good at his. He does a lot of trivia, so like movie quotes and movie information. Brian's got it locked down. But race day's here again, another day because it's a new day.
Is that an outlaw? What is that? What we got? 16.
Oh no, that's Arch and the mini stock.
That's a mini stock.
Yeah, that's Arch.
Dominated on Saturday.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, you should see it. So later today, I should have seen it. Was it Saturday? Was
it? Get that on your channel. Go talk to him.
We can go get Arch.
He'll have stories for days about it, I think.
But he goes into the corner and the left rear is completely off the ground, and then it'll float in the air until center, and then it lands down and smokes, and he takes off. But he
in a straightaway lead.
Oh yeah, he dominates. It's a front wheel drive mini stock, and he wants to come to Florence. And you know, Mike, he's like, "Oh yes, sir," but I don't know if we can do that. So Arch has been begging for a
for our viewers, everyone that's ever met Mike Koss, like he's going to start with "Oh yes, sir, buddy."
Yeah,
we know
yes,
it
sir, buddy.
Every time they say Mike Koss, yes, sir, "Oh yes, sir, buddy."
Yeah, I'm just glad that he got his nephew unstuck from the track.
We were talking about the PJ1, so we're riding around on the back with Mike and Dowie. And we're like, "Brody, move." And then Mike's like, "He can't. He's stuck."
Yeah, he's stuck to the track. He was sitting on the track.
It was hilarious.
Oh, man. But again, another good race day here at Southern National Motorsports Park for Speed Week's day number 3, technically, because it's kind of merged with 4-ish. We had Saturday last week. And then
This would be four.
Today's day 4.
Saturday was one.
I thought the trophies were messed up when I got them because last night said 3. I'm like, I've only been here for 2 days. I forgot that Saturday.
Yeah,
so you're looking at a premonition. I went into March.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
So Speed Week's day 4 is here. Doug Barnes victorious yesterday. Come home second. So that's good deal for the I-95 showdown. I know you're going to do your best anyways with scheduling and you know, make sure obviously the car store.
And also we talked about the weekly purse. There's a championship this week too. I mean, you got to be elite. Well, him and Jared's probably tied. Yeah,
so I was talking to Mason. I don't know if – I know for the 95 thing there was a bonus point for getting the pole. Jared got that. But I don't know – I don't think there's any bonus points for the actual week-long thing, right?
It's just no idea.
Placement. If it's just placement, then we're tied.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, because see how today goes. Hopefully, if he comes home victorious, we'll try to get you back up tomorrow because we got kind of the same – but no, tomorrow's early. So it's gonna be, we're probably going to be hard at it from the time we wake up. So probably won't have a chance to speak to you tomorrow, but maybe afterwards we'll get a chance to catch up because I know it's early night. You getting right out of here? Or you staying in town? You guys? You going back to Florida or Maryland?
Back to Florida.
Yeah,
So I'm actually closing on a house in Mooresville on the 17th.
Yep.
So. Yeah, but going back to Florida for now.
Yeah, I know you talked about that, trying to get closer to the Lee Pulliam camp to try to be a part of what they got going on and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I'll still be about 2 hours from them, but just more central to everything because, like, with Ryan and my girlfriend and me, it's a lot in flights or how we did it this week. And the Florence race is a lot of time
wearing
driving.
Down in itself.
Yeah, so it's like the mortgage is almost paid for and stuff that I don't have to pay for.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because it's 3 flights a weekend and just it's a lot. So I'm just looking forward to being within a comfortable 2-hour drive. That's what I used to do when I raced at Dominion. It's only 2 hours away from my parents' house. I'm looking forward to
that. We all know who does the actual driving and who does the actual sleeping when it comes to...
what have you been saying?
No,
this is not true.
I'm just going off of what I know.
I'm starting to believe Steve because he knows everything about your life.
Yeah.
I'm telling you everything.
I have my notebook.
If there is a caution tonight, Steve will be the guy in the stands. Come on, Doug! Jesus! Just look up there, you'll see. There's Steve. Okay, I'll see you.
Being over there and on the lift with Owen, just waving him.
Yeah.
But I'll try to keep the drone out of your way tonight. We talked about kind of got a little bit lower than I wanted and was noticeable. I did not want it to be noticeable. But
if
there weren't lights on, I would have never seen it. It was like literally just above the turn one wall, so I could see it when I was getting on the wall.
That was me spying. What's he doing?
We have not yet perfected the art of in-car cameras, so we're trying to fly the drone in the race in the car.
And
show you and then fly it right back out.
Good luck with that. You don't wind up going
Sammy has survived. It's got a longer life than my other ones have, so I'm trying to keep it away from stuff.
In the woods in Florence, somewhere on the back straightaway.
This is my 5th drone that I've owned because I ran it into a telephone pole. I put it into the trees. One I burn up, and the 4th one I can't even remember at this point.
Wonders why he made Martin's video.
Easy. Speaking of, I was gonna make that comment earlier when he said Doug throws up before he qualifies. I usually throw up after I qualify because I get done. I'm like, oh, jeez, again.
To clear, I don't throw up. I gag.
Yeah, well, I throw up.
That reminds me of Kingpin. Oh, you've been drinking again?
He doesn't
know. I throw up and I don't drink.
I can tell you Kingpin's too far the other way. So movies are not his thing. So, all right, we'll end this one. We'll go on to our next segment. We're going to be here all weekend. We're going to get some more coverage later on today as well as some stuff for tomorrow. Special edition here at Speed Weeks 2025. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you on the other side of On Tap. All right, we're back on tap here, Southern National Speed Weeks 2025. Night one winner, Jared Fryer, has joined us. Welcome, Jared.
Glad to be here.
Yep. Good day, both days, really. I mean, I know qualifying efforts weren't exactly how you'd drawn them up yesterday,
yeah.
but came back through and had a good finish. And right now, I believe we kind of did the math with Doug. Don't quote us on this, that there's bonus points.
I don't think so.
But so that should put you guys tied going into night three. Super cool stuff. We talked about it with Matt and Doug about how, you know, big money every day, $5,000 to win, and then also a championship at the end of this deal. So, you know, again, we know how the week's gone for you, but how do you feel going into day three?
Yeah, I feel good. You know, obviously things, I feel like just how it goes in racing, you know, the stars align for you. And luckily, the line for me on Wednesday night was able to win in a pretty dominating fashion.
I was going to say, stars. The stars were, like, lined up. That thing was a rocket ship.
I think the last time that's happened has been probably almost 2 years ago there at Langley, you know, and had a similar situation. So it don't happen often, but when it happens, you got to take advantage of it. Luckily, we did. Everything worked out. And, it was a little bit of a struggle last night, you know, just with the tire deal. You know, I mean, it's bound to happen nowadays, you know, so it's just – the tough part for us is, like, when we qualify, we notice it's big difference there, and we can't really do nothing because it's impound race. So we were able to work on it a little bit and help it, but it still wasn't where it was Wednesday, like, driving-wise. So hopefully today we can work on something and try to find a happy balance there and pick up a little bit of speed.
Sometimes for, like, speed, we just got to spoil it too, though. Like, you're spoiled when it's that good right out the gate. Like, oh, man, we need that every single day.
Oh, yeah, and that's what Kendall and everybody said, man. If we can just have that, then – I think we'll be okay for the rest of the week. And then we qualified. I was like, oh, my God, it's terrible. Yeah, you know, it's like, that was bad. And, you know, and it's really easy to say that, too, coming off such a strong run the night before, you know, when it was so good. So, definitely magnified, I feel like.
And Matt mentioned it, too, that because you guys qualified somewhere near each other yesterday, is that you only missed it by 0.4, though. You know, not like you missed it by miles. It's just this competition level, as we talked about with late model stocks, every car out there is a top-notch team, and it just takes every effort. You got to hit your marks exactly right, because 0.4 could change from being first or last.
Yeah, in a heartbeat.
Yeah,
oh, sure. Yeah. So. Yeah, I mean, usually, like, cars race and even bigger races like the 400, I mean, a 10th is going to be 10 positions. It doesn't matter if it's from first to 10th or 20th to 30th. You know, a 10th separates 10 positions roughly. So, you know, that's how it is, and it's competitive.
Yep. Yeah, like I said, the late model stock, the world has gotten so technologically advanced that it's put it in that situation where you got to know what you're doing. Otherwise, you can't be here. You've always been competitive champion in the Cars Tour Series.
First in both divisions, right?
Yeah.
Yep,
so you're competitive everywhere you go, and just a good way to start, and a good week so far. Big changes today as far as weather, you know, and then big changes again, switching that back over to tomorrow. you know, we had talked to Doug. He enjoyed the PJ1, so that, you know, there's a lot of moving parts to just coming from a good night and a good night to today. What's your thoughts on 50 laps of racing going into day three?
Yeah, I'm excited. I was telling somebody earlier, it's like we're probably going to see four seasons in 4 days here.
Right.
You know, we've seen summer, fall yesterday, and now it's winter again. It's cold. So I'm excited about it. The 50 lappers are a lot of fun. I mean, we get able to run hard the whole time, and it's, you know, all out the windshield for me. Like last night, you know, once we got to second, it was trying to track Doug down. Where usually, you know, it's like once you get to that position, you need to ride and make sure you got enough tire for the rest of the 100 laps or whatever, you know. So that's fun. It's a little bit of a change for me in the driving style, I feel like. But I've enjoyed it, man. I've really enjoyed this whole Speed Weeks deal. This is something I've been wanting to do for a while with late model stocks. You know, we watch dirt guys do it all the time. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we do the opposite. You know, I feel like we go practice for 2 days and race one. So to be able to race multiple days in a row is so cool to me and have a shot to win good money, I feel like, for what it pays.
Yeah.
I mean, shoot, the whole week, really. So, I don't know, just excited and happy to be here, you know.
Yeah, the we talked about it on the broadcast yesterday, and I know you kind of mentioned it a little bit going into tonight, man. You know, I forget who I was talking to, but it might have been you, about how the competition here has been super respectful. That was Ryan Wilson was saying, just everybody's giving and taking, and it's been great racing.
This guy's jinxing it every time he can. We got two more days left.
Well, that's my broadcast brain. I need it for the broadcast, and especially seeing that you're going to be race directing and Mike's promoting. I'm just over here. So for me, it's great. For you guys, it all sucks.
It's great television.
Yeah, but no, it's been the guys here, the talent level, you know, 20-plus cars, everyone's just been really smooth and given and taken where they need to, because especially at a place like this, that's what it takes. You know, because for the most part, you know, the PJ1 hopefully helped yesterday a little bit, but going into a race at Southern National, you know you got to get bottom. And everybody, especially get that car store race, and they're just turning left, no matter if you're under there or not, just hoping you either quit or they can get down. So so to get through 2 days clean and green, and hopefully day three will be the same, you know, going into that, I know at first you got to be thinking, what's going to happen around me and trying to look, but hopefully you can get into a position like you have and start focusing on racing.
Yeah, honestly, just to finish that first race, Wednesday was a shot in the arm for us, you know, coming off the first car store race where we got wrecked on lap five there. You know, that was a big downer for us. So to come back and to compete, you know, two nights and not have an issue and finish, so that was good. And hopefully we can carry that on for the next two nights.
Yeah. And we got, you know, a late night tonight, and then we go early morning tomorrow. So kind of back-to-back, bring in multiple divisions tonight, and then come home with a 100-lapper. So I know getting out of here tonight, at least, you know, hopefully with a lead or at least being really close. So when you get to that 100-lapper, you can really focus on the championship.
He's already looking at shots, waiting for that long race. Like, I got you guys.
You said you timed it perfect. We talked about it, you know, where, you know, coming to green, you know, it might have looked like you were, you know, showboating coming off the corner sideways, but it was because you were done. Like, she was spent.
Yeah, when I got the white flag come off too, I was, you know, running the same pace I had been. And it spun the tires. I was like, well, I guess that's it. You know, it was the first time I'd done it that bad, and then it done it again off four, and I was like, geez, that was perfect. You know that was the first race I've run on these tires. Like I said, we only ran five laps at New River, so we didn't get any laps on them and didn't know what to expect. And last night was really good to run 50 hard and see what it did. You know, my car really didn't go away. It stayed pretty much loose the whole time, so that was good. So I still think we're gonna have to save a little bit for the 100 maybe, but I feel like we can go pretty good. And the only thing we haven't seen yet is a late race caution to see what they do when the tires cool off. In a place like this, I feel like the restarts are always technical.
Yeah, of course.
Your broadcast doesn't do this place justice. I mean, it's very abrasive surface.
Oh, yeah.
And if you miss, it's very line sensitive. If you're up a groove on the exit of two or four, you hit that bump, you're like in a four-wheel slide chasing it.
Yeah, yep. And then that's just opens the door for them guys to drive right by you. And especially on restarts, you know, typically it's not just one that gets by you, it's a whole line. So
and that's why, like, Wednesday night, I thought you guys could really good. You could wrap the bottom, come off super low, driving straight, look really nice.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what happened to me, we talked about earlier, off of two when Pulliam almost destroyed me. Maybe it was the bump. Had to be the bump.
I think it was heating the tires. It was pretty chilly that day.
I busted my ass. We came here, Thanksgiving Classic, and it was, I mean, ice cold. Grumpy was, you know Grumpy.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, should be good enough. I'm like, I don't think so. Then I went three quarters and bust my ass, and Lee Pulliam was just coming at me. I'm like, oh, boy, this is going to be bad.
I think the whole time Steve was like, why do they call him Grumpy? Then Steve spun out. Now we know.
Yeah, we got it out.
Yeah.
But
it's a different place.
Yeah, no doubt.
The characteristics of this track is one of his songs.
And Brian's a winner here, so he would know a lot more.
Double down
me.
Weekend. It was a good weekend.
Yeah, the racing action coming up later tonight. So we talked about it with Doug. 47 degrees. 47 degrees is going to be the track or the outside temp going into the day. You know, what are your thoughts there? Any big changes for today, or are you just going to go at it?
Yeah, we're definitely going to make some changes. We're going to practice on our race tires last night because those tires didn't like the setup we ran the night before. So we're going to have to find something that they like, so it'll be good, and hope we get the similar reacting set today and see that. And then it being cooler too, I think actually will play into our favor a little bit, because it seemed like when the track got hot a little bit yesterday, we kind of lost the balance a little bit. It wasn't as good, but I think this cooler weather will play into our favor. As long as, like I said, we get a good set of tires and things kind of gel there, I think we'll be all right.
Yep. And from what everyone is saying, though, that you know, you might have had a bad deal there, but it seems like their consistency is getting closer and closer with this new F45 star stuff. So, it's going to be a crazy day. The gates just opened here at Southern National Motorsports Park. So I'm sure you've got things you probably need to get after and start getting down there and get focused. So we just appreciate you joining us and, you know, appreciate you being a part of our show. And we wish you nothing but luck tonight. Yep.
Thank you. Appreciate it, man. Just glad to be here and glad to be part of the show.
Awesome. All right. Stay tuned. We got some more on tap coming up out of the break. All right. On tap, coming to an end here, 2025 Speed Weeks.
Also coming to an end.
Has come to an end.
Could be better weather-wise.
Oh, man.
How do you
had that weird...
Got a little scared earlier today.
Yeah, had a little weird sprinkle that showed up out of nowhere. What's the meteorologist? Henry Sprinkle? Isn't there a sprinkle in Charlotte? Anyways, there's a guy named Charlotte, or named Sprinkle in Charlotte. But no, it was a great week. You see, sitting here at the On Tap On Location studio here at Southern National.
Studio A.
Studio A, yep. RJ Garris. RJ had his first go-round, and RJ is the voice of Southern National Motorsports Park. RJ, I know we talked about it a little bit throughout this week, and a lot of people, I can promise you, were jealous of you just being able to sit where you sat, let alone being able to kind of learn and talk with Steve Post. But you did an amazing job. For those that saw it on Ultra Broadcasting or any of the stuff we did, congratulations. 15 years old, right?
Yes.
Yep.
15.
So congratulations and welcome to the team.
Yeah, that's great. Just being around Steve and I mean all of you guys and all y'all do here at Ultra Broadcasting, you know, it's just great. Steve, it's been great being with that type of experience and the task that I have been given by Michael here at Southern National. It's just been great. I mean, this was fantastic speed weeks all the way around, from the first Bando race to our last IndyCar race. So it was just great all the way around.
Really threw you in the fire, too. It's not like, go do this go-kart race. I mean, we're up speed weeks. What, we had 90-something cars on property today?
Right.
Jeez.
So we worked hard. Brian had his race directing role this week, and you had your announcing role. Give us, in a brief synopsis, give us your breakdown of the week as far as the Doug Barneses of the world and the Jared Fryers and your – any car stuff? Like, what was your thoughts of just all what you saw this week?
I mean, I haven't been around this track, like, that I can remember. I've been around this track when I was 4. I did the command. That's kind of how the whole thing started with Michael. But, I mean, I just haven't – it's just been great overall, like, being able to understand how, like, a racetrack, like, locally works and how there's 35-lap, 50-lap races. And just seeing, like, all the people here that have been super nice to me down in the pits, it's just been great. And getting to know, like, all the Diazes and all of you guys, the Zacharias's, it's just been great. Getting to know Paul's done a great job. Just everybody doing camera stuff. And Steve and Alex Hayden. Alex came here Wednesday.
Wednesday.
And it's just been great overall. You know, Doug did a great job. Jared did a great job for the late models. And, you know, obviously Brody did a good job for the Bandos.
Brody's currently throwing up currently. He's not feeling well.
Really?
Yeah, he's not
one of our officials are the same way today.
Yeah, but he said it was something he ate, but it wasn't.
Maybe it's
wasn't
the Lucama, North Carolina. He's working on food or something. What's going on?
But, no, overall, Doug Barnes comes home your champion for Speed Weeks.
I mean, him and Fryer just
back and forth the whole time. And they were just as good. And the minute I thought Fryer had it, all of a sudden here comes Doug. And then
they had the first caution of the week tonight. I mean, it wasn't too bad. But then we had, a restart with 14 or 15 to go. I was like, ooh, it might get dicey now. Because them guys are already slipping and sliding at that point. There's a lot of expertise that was going involved in them racing at the end. A lot of give and take all week long, man. I mean, how can you have that many laps of racing, that caliber of field, and only have one caution?
Well, especially yesterday, you know, with the amount of classes we had and starting at 9 o'clock at night, if it gets weird, it gets weird bad. But to end at, 11:15, I think it was?
Yeah, I've been coming to a lot of races in my 35 years, and I can say that when I saw the schedule at first, which is an amazing schedule, I think Mason did a great job working it out. It really played in everybody's favor. It had the work week and whatnot. And Saturday also, not having to be here all night on Saturday. But it could have got, like you said, weird, where we could have ended on Saturday. Hey, guys, we got practice about to start here in 30 minutes.
Yeah, could have come from one to the other.
From Friday to Saturday, that's right.
But 35 years, you made it that long, man. We got,
Oh, we know. Mickey Mouse was 1928.
No, I'm saying, we just got to get through one more. We got to get to 36.
We're not supposed to talk about that.
Sorry. But
yeah, RJ, I might get it. We might not be doing this again. Nice to know you.
Sorry. Except for his birthday. But no, it was an amazing week with good car counts in all divisions, really. Any cars, legends, jeez, as always.
27.
You know, yeah, 27. Day. Ryan Zima comes home the champion there. Ryan, a regular with us, so nice to see someone come up here. And
even in legend car drivers, diverse field, of course, you have a lot of guys with expertise and a lot of guys that's inexperienced. But even with the brief rain shower we had, we brought them down pit road. That race with 27 cars, we didn't separate A main or B main. We just did them all, ran them all. It only took 26 minutes.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, that's including the probably 5 minutes we lost on the red flag down here, and then with the red flag with the rain. So I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah. So I'll tell a funny story, and then we're gonna send this home so we can all get home. But
he always gets the last word.
By yeah, way. I know.
And the unless, second word.
Unless Brian has to.
Unless Brian
has,
I raise my hand. Like
yeah, if you have yeah, if you have something you want to say, you have to raise your hand.
It's but, on tap with Steve, featuring Brian.
Maybe, but the kids, my kids, were up in the top doing all the camera work. And if anyone watched Ultra Broadcasting, obviously, you know, I'm a homer, but you know, I thought they did a great job as far as their camera flow. Leanne's always been good. Owen kind of had to jump into it. Didn't have his legend car here this week, so he took on a role. Morgan did her stuff in the infield and did a great job. But I thought it was funny. Owen came up earlier and he goes, "So, if I would have had my speed from the 25,000 race, I'd be on the pole." I'm like, okay.
I'm surprised you guys.
But you're not. So you're up in the tower.
Zooming in on suspension. Owen, get back to it. Yeah. Let's not see what packages are running. What are you doing?
He called Paul and he's like, "My camera is not working like it did yesterday. It's super loose. Can we tighten this up?" I'm like, "It's not the legend car. It's just a camera pot or a tripod. Like, tone it down."
Went to his head.
Tone it down. And then he also did the, "So am I getting paid for this?" Like, we'll talk about
that.
He
did bring beer, so I can't say anything.
Okay, well, then he's not getting paid.
It all sets.
Yeah. But, no, just an overall great week. You know, interesting to take our old girl. She's coming back with us.
A little wobbly.
Yep. Yeah, we've got to put another screw in it. Put her back at her home. Hopefully, when we get home, Jay, if you're watching, you're supposed to be hooking up something underneath it. These things need to be working at some point.
Still non-existent.
Yeah, still doesn't work. So, Jay, We're begging you to go ahead and get these things functional.
Now we are, RJ, not old enough yet.
Yeah,
we're getting there.
Yeah, someday.
Yeah, I'm close.
That'll be a heck of a show when we get RJ back on the show 6 years from now, and we get to give him his first beer on tap.
I'm living long for that. I'll be here for that.
You might as well. But no, it's been a great week. We had a good time getting to talk to Jared Fryer, Matt Cox, Doug Barnes, and Doug takes home the championship here. Unfortunately, we didn't get a chance to, just like Brian and I know what it's like to run a week like this and to have a part of it. We wanted to sit down with Mike, but it's a lot. People don't understand what it takes.
Maybe we should do some like trade-offs when they come back to Florence. They conduct the whole.
Yeah, they do on
that. Pretty cool.
Yeah, no, we try to fit in. Yeah,
yep.
But no, they did. Mike and Mason and Trinity and Janet. I mean, every time we come up here, they bust their tail and put on a heck of a show. And
like I said, you would not come to this facility and say, "You know what would be nice if they had this there, this right here." I mean, they have everything you need, yep, and they pull it off.
Yep. And you can't say they didn't work hard to whether at the end of the day you didn't like it or something was wrong. Just no different than on our end. They put the effort in to make it right. So. Again, it's time for Brian, myself, RJ, to call it a week and head back to the house. Brian and I getting ready for Florence Motor Speedway this week. We've got March 22nd. Ultra Broadcasting has Lakeview for the first time. Going to be interesting. Paul and I are finishing up our Ultra Broadcasting production trailer. And we're going to be there for our first dirt race coming up this week. So stay tuned. If you're not subscribed, please subscribe, and I promise you that it's going to be worth the effort. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's been our episode. I'll end it with what episode? 9, right? I think it's 9. No, it's 8. I think it's episode 8. Yeah, Brian was right. We are going to lose count.
So many.
Yeah.
There's some people saying episode 200. We already lost count.
We've lost count. But thank you for joining us for this episode. Thank you for joining us for this episode. We want to go home and get our mugs to put our beer in. So we'll see you back at the house. Thank you for joining us on tap.